This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniel's. The best summers are the ones spent in great company with a great drink in hand. Let Jack Daniel's flavors be part of the soundtrack to your summer vibes. Jack Daniel's Honey and Jack Daniel's Apple, mixed with ice cold lemonade, are easy to drink, tasty and refreshing. It's Jack Daniel's, but not as you know it. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to find out more. Please drink responsibly.
Incredibly exciting.
It's really about
as a developer, that's an amazing feeling to have.
Welcome to
good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the latest PS5. I'm your host, Mr. Ali Sylvester, and normally with me, as always, is Mr. Sonny Sanguera. However, he is under the weather at the moment. He's picked up some virus, and I believe it's because of the fear of me whooping his ass in the new Tekken, Street Fighter, and Mortal Kombat games altogether, and I believe that's just knocked him out entirely. So, today you have me. And this is one episode 149.5, ladies and gentlemen. I know last week we were saying that we're going to be doing 150 today, but it wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't be right unless we did it full force and gave you it in its complete glory and justice with both of us on the 150th episode. So it should be a quick one, but we have got a lot of news to pack into it. So we're going to be diving into some PS6 news. So we're going to be looking at that. Sony is also been keeping secrets. We're going to look into that today. Mortal Kombat 1 stress test size, if you're into that. We're going to be looking into what we can be expecting. Horizon, we got some news from Horizon. It's going to be a bit of an update. And Capcom, I believe they turn 40 this year. So we're going to look into that today as well. Yes, so this is very weird because it's just one-sided. However, we're going to go into what I've been playing. I've been playing The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. I'm not going to lie, the game's an amazing game. And I know it's a PS5 podcast and we do try to keep it straight up PS5. But come on, ladies and gentlemen, this game is up there, obviously. If you haven't got a Switch as your second console, what do you do with your life? But yeah, there is another Game of the Year contender, which we spoke about previously, being Final Fantasy 16, which I have completed. Unfortunately, I didn't complete last week, so I can actually give my little review now, and the game is phenomenal. I mean, it's really groundbreaking. I'm not really into the Final Fantasy games as such, but this one is definitely right on my alley. It does feel a bit like Devil May Cry, though. It's got that type of vibe. So I'm glad that they've kind of gone for an action RPG as opposed to the turn-based battle system. But the story seems pretty good. Nice little twists and turns. The graphics, the performance was amazing. If you haven't managed to get your hands on it, you may as well. You know, it got 39 out of 40 on Kotaku, so obviously it's definitely going to be up there as a contender for the best game of the year. The question is, will it beat The Legend of Zelda? I don't think so. But obviously, Sonny would have his own views and think otherwise. But yeah, before we get into all that news this week, we're going to look back in time in gaming history. We've got some significant ones today. This day, this week, in 1991, 32 years ago, Sonic the Hedgehog was released on the Sega Genesis. Yeah, that's just going to put some ages and some years on you. Obviously, that spawned an immense franchise that was the icon, the mascot for Sega, and has now spawned into a multi-billion dollar entertainment figure. Next to that, in 1993, on this day, 27 years ago, it was the Nintendo 64 and Super Mario 64, which was both launched simultaneously. So yeah, one of the greatest consoles ever to grace the gaming world. The introduction of the analog control stick as well was made with the Nintendo 64, so yes, you're welcome. We should all be thanking Nintendo for that at least. In 1999, the PlayStation, we had Ape Escape, so that's 24 years ago. Yes, a big game-ish. There wasn't actually much released on the PlayStation this year and this day. They are quite careful to avoid this day, apparently. But in 2009, 14 years ago, Fight Night Round 4, an amazing, amazing fighting game. So if you haven't played it, yeah, it's going to be available somewhere. So definitely, I'm sure you're going to be able to get your hands on it. Okay, into this week's first bit of news. Microsoft, yes, a word and a name that we don't normally utter on this show. But anyway, Microsoft expects the PS6 and the new Xbox will launch in 2028, so 5 years' time. Microsoft revealed during court documents for the ongoing Activision Blizzard FTC trial that the format holder expects the PS6 and the next Xbox to launch in 2028. The Xbox maker made the comment while discussing its commitment to releasing Call of Duty games on Sony's consoles should it be successfully acquired by Activision Blizzard. This term would, in any case, go beyond the expected starting period of the next generation of consoles in 2028, thus Call of Duty will be published on successor PlayStation consoles should one be released during the term of the agreement. The agreement would also ensure that Call of Duty console games are offered on PlayStation at parity with Xbox. Microsoft also goes on that comments on the launch of the next generation console aligns closely with what Sony previously said in previous documents, that the console maker doesn't think that they'll be releasing any systems until at least 2027. As previously reported, Microsoft's claim that Sony has to pay far less for console exclusives than Microsoft's due to its rival's larger user base. Furthermore, Sony also revealed that it would be forced to withhold info on the PlayStation 6 from Activision should it be acquired by Microsoft. And that rolls on to our next bit of this story. Jim Ryan, CEO and president of Sony Interactive Entertainment, has revealed the console maker will withhold information about the PS6 from Activision should the publishing giant be acquired by Microsoft. The executive made the comments in a new deposition to the US Federal Trade Commission regarding Microsoft's planned acquisition of the Call of Duty publisher, where he revealed Sony would be forced to withhold the PS6 info if Activision is owned by Microsoft. Instead asked about Sony working with Mojang Minecraft after Microsoft bought them. The discussion is redacted, but Ryan says it supports this concern. Elsewhere, a declaration in December last year had Ryan commenting that PlayStation and Activision had collaborated on technical features for Call of Duty, although redactions mean that we weren't able to find any more details. Now, on the surface of this, we would think that Sony being very coy about the information that they chose to give to Microsoft about their upcoming system would be a good decision. But as we've said in the past, and as Sony mentioned as well, and I'm sure that you all are aware that Sony does make MLB for Xbox. So this wouldn't be the first time that either company have been sharing information about the specs of their system. And, you know, going beyond that, obviously you've got the likes of AMD, who's responsible for making the console chipset and graphics cards for both the PlayStation and Xbox. So in terms of information, both architectures are very similar, even though, well, the PlayStation is a lot faster. The power and prowess actually goes to the Xbox, but even though the games don't actually showcase it. But anyway, so it could get a bit interesting during the next few months as the case at the FTC trial continues. So stay tuned. Anyway, obviously, we're going to be following this as we have done since this first announcement of Microsoft acquiring Activision and Blizzard, King. I'm sure there's like a slew of others. But anyway, we'll have a theme song for that as well. So stay tuned.
What a night! Yeah, got some great pics on my new Galaxy S23 Ultra. Us on the dance floor.
Love it. Can you send me that?
A group selfie.
Fit! How do we look that good?
Nightography, babe. Stunning photos, even in the dark.
Like in that dingy karaoke booth.
Exactly.
Send me, please.
And then this late night masterpiece.
Wow!
Right? Not bad for some fried chicken.
Send me that too.
The new Samsung Galaxy S23 Ultra with epic nightography. Available now at Samsung.com.
Get ready for the next battle.
Okay, story number two. We're going to go over to Mortal Kombat. And there is a PS5 online stress test, which is going to be happening. And the test file size has been revealed. And they go on to say the ever-reliable PlayStation Game Size Twitter account has revealed the file size for Mortal Kombat 1 on the PS5's online stress test. And the good news is it won't be causing your hard drive much stress. According to the site, the file will clock in at just 6.632 gigabytes. And if you're lucky enough to have been selected for the event, you won't have to wait long to participate. The online stress test will kick off later this week. Mortal Kombat 1 is scheduled for release on the PS5, PC, Switch, and the Xbox come September 19th, 2023. In other related news, Ed Boon, the co-creator of the series, has said that the third Injustice game hasn't been ruled out. The team are simply focusing on Mortal Kombat 1 for the time being, which makes perfect sense. The Injustice series is a phenomenal hit in my eyes, and it just shows how the technical prowess of the team at NetherRealm, and they just keep on winning, don't they? So yes, team, keep focusing on that Mortal Kombat 1. It looks phenomenal. Put all your time and effort into the DLC, making it run as silky smooth as it looks like it should. And when the time is ready, and the moon and all the planets are aligned perfectly, that's when you release Injustice. So we'll look forward to that.
PlayStation.
Okay, moving on. We have some news from the Horizon universe. The latest Horizon Forbidden West Burning Shores update features a tribute to Lance Reddick. Guerrilla Games has included a touching tribute to the late actor in its latest update, which features Reddick's name proudly displayed for all to see. If you're having trouble locating it, then here's some tips from a Reddit member. And they go on to say, it's on a large island south or below the second eastern lava outflow. Fly or swim across due south from the campfire on the beach. It's just on the ridge above the beach. Easiest to spot at night if you have any troubles because of the hieroglyphic light. And it's a lovely tribute to Lance Reddick and those who have been following the story and those who haven't. Lance Reddick passed away in March at the age of 60. It was a massive, he was a massive gamer and lover of Destiny and also Horizon Forbidden West. And the whole of Horizon franchise. I've spent some 2008 hours on the original game and its sequel. He also voiced Commander Zavala in the shared world shooter franchise and also provided the voice and likeness for Silence in Horizon games. Reddick was playing Destiny 2 on the day before he passed away, and fans gathered to pay tribute to the actor in the game. So, yeah, that's very sad news about him passing. It's a shock to the industry. And also him being a pivotal character within the Horizon franchise. Well, I guess leaves a massive question mark as to how they're going to handle that going into the future. But obviously they're already at work on how they're going to, I guess, ease him out the storyline. Or maybe keep him in some way, shape or form. Okay, moving on. Bethesda says if Starfield was coming out to the PS5, then it wouldn't be out in September. Bethesda's Pete Hines has revealed during Microsoft's court case against the Federal Trade Commission that Starfield wouldn't be released in September had the game also been planned to launch on the PS5. Starfield was confirmed to be releasing exclusively for PC and Xbox following Microsoft's acquisition of ZeniMax Media in 2021, which means PS5 gamers are missing out on the upcoming sci-fi RPG. However, had the game also been planned for Sony's console, then Hines claimed it wouldn't be out so soon. When asked if Starfield would be out this year if it wasn't an exclusive to Microsoft's flagship console and PC, Hines replied, "In my opinion, no. This game would not be coming out in 9 weeks if we were supporting an entirely different platform. Focusing on fewer platforms has been a big benefit to the team, adding that if the game was coming out to more platforms, it would take longer. It's going to cost a lot more money, and it's a far greater risk in mind." On the subject of Starfield, Phil Spencer said during an interview earlier this year that he never indicated the game would come to the PlayStation, with Bethesda Games evaluated on a case-by-case basis following its acquisition. Starfield obviously is going to release on over the rest of the consoles except for the PS5 and the Switch in September the 9th. And I guess this is just a indication of what we're going to be seeing over the next few weeks again, because of this whole FTC case, as they try to iron out all the legalities of the deal, which is showing so much controversy around throughout the whole gaming industry. But yeah, the good thing about cases like this is that we're going to be getting some good inside tidbits that we would not normally get otherwise. So definitely stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. The best summers are the ones spent in great company with a great drink in hand. Let Jack Daniels flavors be part of the soundtrack to your summer vibes. Jack Daniels Honey and Jack Daniels Apple mixed with ice cold lemonade are easy to drink, tasty and refreshing. It's Jack Daniels, but not as you know it. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to find out more. Please drink responsibly.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Okay, veterans in the gaming industry would know that this would normally be the season to be jolly, I guess, because it would be the E3 season. And normally fans, games companies and developers will be all flying out to the LA Convention Center. But all that's changed, and all that kind of took a massive hit over the COVID period, which shut down a lot of businesses, including the E3. And the question about whether the E3 would actually have a future post-COVID hasn't really been too confident. And we might have a bit more information about that here now. E3 has been cancelled for 2024 and 2025. Well, I guess that's it then, isn't it? Well, it looks like this really might be the end of the historic annual event that was E3. As reports from a regular meeting of the LA Convention Center Tourism Commission confirms that if the event were to return, it wouldn't do so until 2026. Before we could even have the conversation around whether or not E3 would return next year and the year after, ReedPop, and the company managing E3, has already taken it off the board. It could be that ReedPop is taking the 2 years as time to rebuild the show for a hopeful, triumphant return in 2026. It could also end up being the case that by that time it would try and return, it will still find itself a step behind Jeff Keighley's Summer Games Fest show. The E3 was for many years the epicenter of the gaming industry, where annually the biggest players would come to showcase their biggest and best titles, including new hardware. There are countless moments that are ingrained in many players' memories of when some of the industry's foundational titles were revealed, and far more awkward and cringe moments than the executives a part of them would care to admit. One of them I'm sure you'll be able to find on YouTube is, was it Reggie Fils-Aimé from Nintendo saying his body is ready? I mean, that was just definitely cringe. And another one as well, when you've got all the Microsoft executives doing an awkward dance on the stage, which wasn't actually an E3 event. It was a Windows launch event, but it's still equally as cringe. But anyway, if it never returns, it will be the end of an era for sure. For the end of one means the beginning of another. And as we move forward into the annual Keighley Fest, that might actually be the case. But we have an update on that. The Entertainment Software Association has shut down speculation that E3 2024 and 2025 have been cancelled. Yesterday, we heard an update from the Los Angeles Tourism Board Commission projecting future sales results based on the cancellations of the next two iterations of the long-running trade show. So GameIndustry.biz actually reached out to the ESA for clarification. A spokesperson told the trade body is currently having conversations about E3 2024 and beyond. The spokesperson also commented that no final decisions have been made, and even though everything was cancelled by Reed Pop back in March, there's no concrete information about what will actually happen to the exhibition. Finally, when a representative was asked whether the E3 would return in 2024, he said, "We're committed to providing an industry platform for marketing and conveying, but we want to make sure that we find that right balance that meets the needs of the industry. We're currently going to be listening and ensuring whatever we want to offer meets those needs, and at that time we will have more answers and news to share," which is a perfect response. I think the E3, I mean, it was getting a bit stale, you know, and plus when you don't really have, or when you have like so many different options, you know, you've got online, you've got YouTube, you've got Twitter, you've got Instagram, you've got so many different outlets now for developers, companies to release that information. It kind of leaves the E3 in a very awkward position because it was mainly a physical based medium. But I think by them actually just taking time out, reassessing the whole market, and then coming back strong because they still have a brand. You know, Jeff Keighley has got the Summer Game Fest, but at this time it just feels like a replacement for the E3. You know, E3 is still prominent throughout the whole gaming industry for both developers and players alike. And I do think that if they were to come back a lot more stronger, encouraging developers to release information about their games right there live, it would keep the industry a little bit more focused on this period of time, because you could get all your information at one place as opposed to it being scattered across numerous weeks throughout the month of June. But then I guess the argument to that is, this way, if console and developers and publishers are able to control their own narrative, they reduce the risk of being overshadowed by any larger headline. You know, they can actually release the information when they choose to, when they actually feel that there's a nice respite from all the other major releases, and that could also be more beneficial, obviously, for them getting the right type of spotlight to their particular audience. Not to mention the biggest question about the pound or dollar sign. It all comes down to the money. It's a hell of a lot cheaper for them to release it on a Twitter feed or on a YouTube feed, or just doing a direct to the customers or potential consumers. It's just a lot easier as well because they can manage the entire environment, and it also reduces the amount of cringe that would potentially come out of any unfortunate situation on stage. However, it doesn't mean that we haven't seen any cringe moments with Xbox Directs in past years. Talking about that catapult, which, they clearly spent too much time on one of their previous Directs a few years ago. But anyway, the E3, it may not be over, so there is still hope for it yet. But in the meantime, Jeff Keighley's going to have a bit of fun.
It's Ridge Racer! Ridge Racer! Remember that one?
Okay, we have some news from Capcom. Capcom actually turns 40, and it sold 500 million games worldwide. Capcom is celebrating its 40th anniversary, and what better way to mark the occasion by releasing some eye-watering stats. Here's the big one. The publisher has sold 500 million titles globally since it first started out 4 decades ago. Unsurprisingly, Resident Evil ranked as its biggest selling franchise, with the survival horror juggernaut having moved 142 million units worldwide. Also performing well are the Monster Hunter series, with 92 million units sold, and the Street Fighter franchise, with 50 million copies moved worldwide. For some reason, I thought Street Fighter had sold a lot more than that. But anyway, nothing compared to Tekken. Capcom recently launched two new entries into the Resident Evil and Street Fighter series in the shape of Resident Evil 4 Remake and Street Fighter 6, respectively. And those games are out now, both getting very high marks, in particular Street Fighter 6, which got a 40 out of 40 on Kotaku. But yes, Capcom, you know, the brainchild behind so many classic games, including the ones mentioned, the Resident Evil series, Monster Hunter, Street Fighter series, but also the ones that don't get mentioned, you know, like Power Stone. You know, I think that's a game which I'd like to see a lot more of. And obviously they worked with Marvel on the crossover events as well, for the Marvel X Street Fighter franchise. And there's just so many other games which Capcom has lent their hands to. But yeah, good to see that they're actually still going from strength to strength. And they're not succumbing to pachinko machines like Konami. Who would have thought that even by being knocked off last week by Diablo 4, that Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom would be right back at number one, because the game's just that amazing. Yeah, so hats off to Nintendo for creating an amazing game, which would probably be knocked off as soon as Final Fantasy 16 gets launched. So at least I can enjoy the highlight for the time being. But yes, and also what we did not see was Grand Theft Auto 5, even though I did mention it last week. See that, Sonny? It didn't happen. I think the fans are starting to understand that they really want GTA 6. It's time for GTA 6. So hopefully we don't ever see GTA 5 back in these charts ever again. And that being said, sorry that I think I'm getting the cough and cold that Sonny has. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in this week for your weekly PS5 podcast. Obviously, it's a slightly different to the usual show. But next week, we'll be right back to normal. Sonny should be here. Hopefully, he would have got over his illness of me whooping his ass at Tekken and any other fighting game on the planet. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in again. Remember, every single week on Sunday, for all you lovely people out there, you'll be able to get the latest PS5 news and just keep it locked in your diary. So until then, have a great week. I'll catch you later. Bye for now.